everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the show. On the other side of the glass in the control room, and it looks like we may get some rain next week, depending on the tropical storm Nora, which is right now off the coast of Mexico, may move up to Baja. So, Tom, we might get some rain, but you never know. It's kind of still early when you start dealing with hurricanes and tropical storms. Those patterns quickly change.
The chances are Sunday evening around 20%, improving to around 50% midweek.
Yeah. Well, there you go. All right. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. It's Friday. It's August 27th, 2021. Our radio station is 1030, Tucson's trusted source for news talk. The call letters are KVOI, The Voice. It is Buckmaster in our 11th year already. On the radio after 22 years in TV. So that's like over 30, about 33 years now in the Tucson market. We have our worldwide live listening podcasts, and that show archive we have is pretty darn extensive. Goes back to the first week of January when Gabby Giffords gave her really the last interview before the horrible Tucson tragedy. That was my first week of the radio show. So all that's archived. There's stuff of historic importance. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners include TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. The Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Speaking of the weekly, the senior editor, Jim Nintzel, is going to be joining us in our conversation with Congressman Grijalva. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you so much for the opportunity to join you, and I'm sorry I can't be there in person.
Oh, I know you have a lot of business going on with all those publications, and it's especially busy today. We welcome again to the Buckmaster Show United States Representative Raul Grijalva. Congressman Grijalva, a Democrat representing the 3rd Congressional District of Arizona. He is now in his 10th two-year term in the House of Representatives. Congressman Grijalva serves as chair of the House Natural Resources Committee. Congressman, how are you? How are you feeling, first of all? You had COVID. You were one of the so-called long-termers, the long haulers. You've lost some weight. You look great. But how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I think, you know, unfortunately, I ended up with a longer recovery than most people had relative to the COVID, and you know, even though it was it took longer to rid myself of it, I feel better and much stronger, having gotten back a lot of my energy. Because one of the things about this COVID, it applies to people differently, but to me it was the fatigue factor, and that was pretty pronounced. But now, you know, thanks to some good docs and medical help and antibiotics and all that good stuff and the vaccines, mm-hmm. I'm in line for the booster pretty soon.
You're on the mend.
And it's beyond the mend. You know, we never took a break from having to do our business online and doing our voting by proxy and in person when I could. But, you know, now going into September and October, I'll probably be spending more time in Washington because that's where some of the more significant pieces of legislation are going to be dealt with pretty soon.
All right, what a week. The carnage in Kabul with a suicide bomber, and it does turn out apparently it's just one bomber, but one can do a lot of damage and did, killing 13 servicemen, injuring a bunch of others. Republicans, congressmen, are calling for the president of the United States to resign. Should he think about that?
But, absolutely not. I think, you know, the horror that we saw is a horror that has been perpetual in the Middle East, and it's you know, the carnage that has occurred, the suicide bombings, ISIS, the Al Qaeda, and their attacks, and the Taliban as well. You know, what has occurred is that by the United States, by President Biden closing the door on what has been actually three prior presidents going back and forth on what to do about Afghanistan, Biden closed the door, and I think that door needed to be closed. And now that it's closed, he's going to appropriately and unfairly get almost the entire blame for the situation that has taken 20 years, trillions of dollars, and the most important treasure, the lives of our servicemen and women and other people that served, whether with nonprofit or with contractors in the area. And that doesn't include the hundreds and thousands of civilian lives. So it is a tragedy that's been building for 20 years. And hopefully we are able to spare the worst of atrocities to those that were allied with us and helped us during the time that we were in Afghanistan.
Jim Nenzel, join our conversation, please.
Yeah, absolutely, Congressman. You said you think it was the right decision to bring the troops home from Afghanistan. Why do you think it was the right decision, and why do you think the United States should not have stayed longer?
Well, the debate is nuanced now. I mean, there seems to be a real consensus not only in Congress but with the American people that it's time to get out. I mean, you know, Trump said he was going to get out. So did Obama, but then we had the surge under Obama, and then, of course, the initiation of everything under Bush. So, yeah, and I think that one of the things to remember is as to that this war, this action, whatever you want to call it, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. There is no way out, and there is no way out waving a victory flag. There is no way out having at least a compromise and a truce. It was it wasn't destined to happen this way, but it did, and that is the consequence of Afghanistan. That is the consequence of the region. And I hope that, you know, us being the military, the police of the world, that attitude has changed, and that we are much more careful and protective of our men and women in uniform when we do put them in harm's way. And this war, it gone on too long. And this war has cost us in many ways. And yet, we find ourselves in that region of the world still dealing with the same fundamental root issues of political instability, extremism, and the lack of stability among governments and autocrats in charge of big sections of that area. It is going to take more than the United States, and I hope we've realized that. It's going to take the world to really fix this, and it's going to take an international effort of proportions that have not been conducted yet.
Jim, did you have a follow-up before I switch topics? Because I got a lot on the plate.
Just wanted to ask what you made of the fact that the Taliban were able to overcome the Afghan forces so quickly.
I've been listening to and reading about why and why we didn't anticipate and why we didn't know that. I don't have an answer. We should have known that, and we should. And I think that what happened is that, you know, this whole concept of nation building, which was the root of everything we did in Afghanistan, essentially there was no commitment in the long haul for what was going to happen in Afghanistan from whatever political leadership happened to exist in Afghanistan at the time. And the progress that was made in Afghanistan was made with women and with young girls. That was progress. And I worry deeply about what's going to happen there. But overall, the armed services and the police capacities of the country, billions upon billions upon billions of dollars invested in that area, and the willingness to fight for their government, defend that went away at the first instance. And why was it so rapid? Because there was no resistance.
Let me leave Afghanistan for a second. I have a listener who's just been all over this PRO Act. He is just so furious with what's going on. And the PRO Act, he says, is a radical overhaul of our nation's labor laws that nullify right-to-work laws in 27 states and eliminate the gig economy and the franchise industry, afford illegal immigrants labor rights given to U.S. citizens, and paves the way for forced unionization. What the heck's going on?
The arguments against the PRO Act that I support are...
You support the PRO Act.
Absolutely. I think that if we're talking about democracy and we're talking about the quality of life for the American worker, then we have to understand that their ability, a worker's ability to choose whom will represent them collectively as representatives there, as bargaining for them for wages, benefits, working conditions, that is not only legal, but that it needs to happen. And so the PRO Act facilitates that. And facilitates the ability for workers to do just that and to have elections and be able to elect. You know, there was just an election, I think, at Amazon, which the unions lost. But that was a decision in that workplace not to affiliate with a union.
Would it eliminate, though, the right to work laws or make them obsolete?
I think the right, I don't think it does that. What it does is that people will be able to unionize, let's say, at a particular work site and such, be able to be representative. The consequences of that is how that is played out. And I think that if we have unionized representative associations and unions representing workers in the workplace, it'll be better for workers, short of a strike, short of all that. But you have to at least begin to deal with the issue as co-equals, and that happens when you do it by bargaining, not by imposing. And I don't think it, you know, we have right to work in this state, and you know, ASARCO was on strike for a long time and finally settled. I think the situations change from time to time. Teachers had a sick day during this process. So there has got to be a way for workers to do that, and one of the ways is to be represented in an organized way by whomever they choose to represent them, be a union or association. And that's all that bill does. It democratizes the workplace.
Jim, do you want to jump in before I take the break at 12:20?
And we may have to revisit this question on the other side of the break, but I just want to ask you, your reaction to Governor Doug Ducey using the federal funding, federal COVID funding, to provide grants to schools that do not have mask mandates, that he's basically incentivizing the idea of not having masks in schools, because that's obviously a huge debate going on right now.
Yeah, we had a reaction, but to summarize it, and we appeal to the Biden administration to do something about that. That the intent of the CARES Act and the relief money was for that intent, to prepare schools, prepare students, prepare educators and support staff for dealing with providing a clean, safe environment for children to come back in person. That's what it was, and. For Ducey, for what to use that as blackmail, extortion, is cruel, because we're talking about a population of constituents, of consumers, that cannot speak for themselves. We're talking about children, and we're talking about students, and to me, not allowing school districts to make those decisions on their own and be accountable to their constituents for that decision. That's how it works. But no, to the politicizing of the issue of masks and vaccinations has reached such a point that you have people like Ducey that think that this is going to be the chariot that takes them to higher office. It's not. this albatross is going to hang around his neck forever. And I don't care what magic Dr. Carmona is bringing to help him, it's not going to be enough.
Dr. Carmona named yesterday by the governor to be the basically the kind of the policy guru for the health department. He won't be the health director, but his mission will be to try to increase the number of Arizonans getting them vaccinated. So that was announced yesterday.
And then I think the contradiction is you also you have to control the spread, and you have to provide preventive. And until that vaccination level reaches a level of security for the people of Arizona, and certainly for the people of Pima County and Tucson, then local jurisdictions, businesses, which are starting to do that, can and should be able to mandate those protections until we reach that level. I don't know how Carmona is going to be able to walk that particular wire, but we'll see.
Jim, do you have a quick follow before I take the break?
Well, you go back with Rich Carmona quite a ways, Congressman, and I just wonder, how do you feel like he's handled his role there at the University of Arizona, and how do you think he'll be able to, you know, he obviously worked as a general with the Bush administration, and afterwards said that, you know, he was frustrated by the politics there.
I consider Dr. Carmona a friend. I respect him. And I admire what he's done and the contributions that he's made. That's not the issue here. The issue is that sometimes you're put in a position where you have to defend the indefensible. And I think that Dr. Carmona finds himself in that situation right now. And I hope he does a good job. And I hope the vaccination rate skyrocks and soars. And I will do whatever I can to promote that. But you know, that is still a tough situation. As for whatever job was done with the University of Arizona, I was glad that finally our university joined the other two land-grant universities to say we're going to mandate masks and we're going to mandate vaccines. I'm glad we joined that. And but, you know, I'm not in a position to say what kind of job was done or not done at the University of Arizona. I'm too distant from it.
And we had Dr. Robbins, Congressman, on the show this week, and he would have liked to see mandates, shot mandates for all students,
I agree,
employees, teachers, everybody associated with the University of Arizona. ASU was moving in that direction. U of A joined. I don't know how NAU felt about the whole thing, but the governor, once that got out there, that there was a whiff of mandate in the air, the governor said, no, it will not happen. Yeah. And the president of the university is disappointed about that.
You know, I don't understand. Let's say that politically, you know, you're trying to appeal to a base like Ducey is. Fine, do that. But also, you know, allow democracy to work, as Ducey cries out for. Oh, it should be the state's rights. It should be this. It should be that. I have the discretion to use that money however I want. If I want to blackmail in school districts, I'm going to do that with federal money. But, okay, the issue is then let democracy work. Let local school districts, local board of supervisors, local mayor and councils make decisions for their communities based on the protection of their community.
Does Ducey have a political future in as far as you're concerned?
I don't think so. You know that I remember there's a lot of great quotes that people remember about John F. Kennedy. You know, great quotes and great speeches. But he had one quote that I think is going to be part of Ducey's legacy. He had a quote where he said, "You know, you have to forgive your enemies." Then the president paused and said, "But never forget their names," and I would suggest that this is Ducey's. That's going to be a hard one for people to forget, and certainly he's going to be reminded of it all the way through. And people that are running under his umbrella, you know, what is it going to take for us to understand that it's not just about us? In this case, it's about kids in the schools, and babies, kids my grandkids' age. that we need to protect them. That's our highest responsibility that we have, and that we're not doing it because of the petulance and politicizing of an issue by a governor that should never have been politicized.
All right. On that note, we will take a break. Break. Congressman Raul Grijalva sticks around for our next segment, segment two. But first, also Jim Nensel will stick around for segment two. But first, let's take a listen to the wonderful people who support this program and make it possible for me to come to you each weekday from noon to one. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. Midway Point, Friday afternoon, Friday Focus interview. Congressman Raul Grijalva is with me in studio. Jim Nensel, who is very busy over preparing the Tucson Weekly and five other publications that he's involved with, is on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The naming rights in our studio, I'm very proud of it because they're a great sponsor. Green Things and Zocalo Village. How can you not like Green Things with all those beautiful plants that they have on 13 acres? Just a great, great organization. Great people run it. We're so proud to have them as a part of what we do here. Congressman Raul Grijalva is with me in studio. Congressman, you've been in the political eye for more than 40 years. Everything now with a politician is through the filter of what's in it for me. And what does this mean for my career? Yes or no?
Yeah, one of the evolutions that I've had the good fortune to see and to experience is the evolution from what was considered the positions, not only that I've been in, but others that were considered important public service positions. And they were and yes, you ran with the philosophy, but it was central that you were. It's about public service and what you could do to make things better. And so because of that philosophy, you could reach compromises, you could reach consensus with someone from another party. That, and then I think the shift happened in the late 90s to one about where careerists dominate the elected positions, and those are unfortunately people that think what is good for my career, not what is good for the service that I've been elected to provide. And when that change happens, that's when you get the expedient changes, the opportunistic change positions that have nothing to do with a belief, a set of beliefs. I would, you know, if I'm going to be defeated, it's going to be because of what I believe in. It's not going to be because this was a stepping stone to change my mind to do something else later. And so I think that that's been a change, and it's not been a good change because it keeps the democracy from running the way it should, because there's the sliver of opportunity for compromise, consensus, bipartisanship gets narrower and narrower.
All right, let's go to the live line. Richard has called us at 790-2040. Richard, you are on the air.
Thank you, Bill. And Raul, I just wanted to say, sir, that as I perceive it as a small contractor, the PRO Act is going to reclassify some 11 million to some 50 million Americans from self-employed to becoming employees. They are going to lose their freedom. These people pay 15.1% self-employment tax. We're talking about stucco crews. We're talking about masonry crews. We're talking about yoga instructors. We're talking about single women and people all across this land who will lose their self-employment gig. They will be classified as employees. No. They will lose their primary clients. Yeah, and this is far-sweeping legislation. Am I wrong about this, sir?
No, I think the point that you're making is a valid point. And as this legislation has been going through, not only through the committee that I'm on, Education and Workforce, but through this reconciliation process, the point that you make is a point that I think that will have to be addressed, and that is those self-employed, okay, designated as such. How do you not adversely impact them? And second of all, the issue that was attempted to be addressed and needs to be addressed is the proliferation of contract employees, that you know where. Yeah. Everybody is a contract employee and therefore fits under the self-employed definition. So that's where the clarification needs to happen. If it is a crew of 500, all self-employed contractors to the main business, is that still that self-employed individual that would be adversely affected by it? I would suggest that maybe not, that maybe that is a different category and has to be looked at that. But certainly the protection of the self-employed will be part of that discussion. How expansive, sir, do we look at that contract employee? And many places have used that as a means to effectively prevent unionization efforts. effectively narrow any consensus and contract discussions. So, yeah, that is a big area, and it's that proliferation of that definition that we were trying to address. In the sweep of addressing that, the adverse effect on self-employed needs to be addressed, and I'm committed to addressing that.
All right, let's go to Jim Nitzel, the Tucson Weekly. Jim, what's on your mind right now?
Well, Congressman, you were just talking about bipartisanship and working with the other party. And, of course, you've got this $1 trillion infrastructure bill in the House right now that has passed the Senate. And then the House is working on this $3.5 trillion social spending bill that they want to pass in tandem.
Yep.
As the with the infrastructure bill, and of course pass the other one through reconciliation in the Senate. Some really challenging politics. I think you guys are playing with some very narrow margins there, and we have Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema expressing her concern about the price tag of that $3.5 trillion bill. Do you expect that to be shaved down a little bit before it gets through that reconciliation process in the Senate? Are you fighting for a timeline here? Go ahead.
Let me segment it for you. The way I'm approaching it, Jim. First of all, the committee I chair is going to do its part for the money that's been lined for that, and so will the rest of the committees, both committees that I'm on, in workforce and interior resources, natural resources. We'll do that job. And our target is 3.5 in the House of Representatives, period. And the back and forth about which one we vote on first or not is irrelevant. That got settled the other night. So here we go. And I think it is important for the House to lay out its priority. I don't think it's enough money, but that's the money we're working with, and that is the initial bottom lines that was negotiated with the Senate. Now, if the Senate wants to, or whether it is our Senator Sinema or others that say it's too high, it's 1.5, then I think the discussion is going to shift, because we're going to, at least from my perspective, we're going to defend what the House does, because we think that this investment, we believe this investment right now in the full recovery and stabilization, not only of our country, but the down payment on the future, is historic. And where do you not take that historic step? Maybe child tax credit, maybe universal community college education, maybe not expanding health coverage under Medicare and Medicaid. And the list goes on. Maybe not fully investing in public education. Maybe not doing pathway to citizenship for DACA. Certain categories of farm workers and essential workers, TPS. So this is a big bill. And the investment part of it is important. And I know that, those that feel it's too high, I don't think they have yet heard from the American people, and they will. And so we're going to go with what we think is the bold step under the number that was negotiated with the Senate. Many of us feeling it should have been more, but that's what we have right now. And I hope that both Sinema and other Manchin and other Democrats realize that we've probably reached the point where this sanctity of the filibuster, when it comes to this historic investment for the American people and the people of Arizona, that there is going to come a reckoning, and that reckoning is, do you continue to hang on to that, or do you exercise your majority? We in the House don't have the burden of that filibuster, but we do have a narrow majority, and we're committed to moving this forward with that narrow majority and implicitly understanding the risk. Because that's also involved in this as well. But I think if you put it to a vote to the American people, which we can't and won't, this package, the Build Back Better package and Build Back Right package, as I like to say, has strong majority support from the American people.
Jim, did you have anything else?
I did want to ask you, this week you voted for the John R. Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, Congressman, and you want to talk about why that was important?
It wasn't It wasn't the legislation that many of us felt was necessary for the long haul. The legislation that dealt with dark money, the legislation that required more financial disclosure of people involved in campaigns, outside groups, etc. But it is a protection. It's a protection for voting rights districts. It's a protection at more accountability and disclosure. And it is a protection of voting rights in elections. And when you see that 13 states, Arizona being leading again with Texas and Florida and others, putting more and more restrictions and on voting and suppressing the voting and chasing the big lie about whether or not Biden should or shouldn't be president, all that is having a damaging effect on our democracy, and this bill kind of stabilizes it. Is it as impactful and as deep as it should be? No. But is it the right buttress at the right time for these suppression moves around voting and for making voting more difficult for certain communities? Yeah, and so that's why I support it.
All right, before we let you go, Gila Bend is a disaster. I just received a news release from your office. You're asking the governor, apparently before you came over here to the studio today, you have asked the governor to take action to get some federal funding for the community. They've just been what they're calling historic flooding in Gila Bend.
Part of what we need to do in support of our local communities is exactly that. You know, we just finished working with the county and releasing, getting federal commitments to fund the testing centers and the vaccine centers that for some reason Ducey didn't want to fund in Pima County. Again, the petulance. He should. CJ's from Southern Arizona. He should have some affinity for us.
His chief of staff.
But I think CJ's drank a big amount of the Kool-Aid. But I think that Gila Bend, our letter is to say declare it, Governor.
Right.
Declare it a disaster area, Maricopa, other parts, so that FEMA, with its full resources, not just the $200,000 that was discretionary that we all appreciate the governor releasing there, but, you know, housing assistance, everything that would need it to make the kind of both infrastructure and human response to Gila Bend. And the sooner he does that, the sooner, according to FEMA, they're ready to respond.
All right. Congressman Grijalva, good to see you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll take our break right here. Jim Nintzel will stick around. I'll have a few comments with Jim, and we'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCareToYouAZ.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We went a little long with the congressman, but we had a lot of content, a lot to cover. So it means we've got a really telescope segment number three here with Jim Nintzel, the Tucson Weekly. But Jim, wanted to ask you, the New York Times had, I think it was yesterday, a large editorial basically calling what's been going on in Maricopa County and this recount a clown show. When is the clown show going to end?
Well, we don't know, Bill, because the cyber ninjas were supposed to turn in their homework on Monday, and and then we found out they didn't because then it was pushed to Wednesday, and then we've learned that several of them, the team, came down with COVID, one of whom needed to be hospitalized, and the other two were pretty sick, according to the Senate President Karen Fan. So, this is... We don't know when the homework's going to get done here, but it's not looking like it's going to happen anytime soon, and it's also not looking like they have much to show for these months and months and months of work. But you know, we'll find out. I suspect there'll be some kind of scandal. They've cried wolf a couple of times. You know, they came out and said an entire database got deleted, and that was not the case. They just couldn't find it. They came out and said that 74,000 people had voted early and they weren't on the list properly, and then it turned out that they just weren't on they weren't mailed ballots. They were people who came into early voting centers and voted, and it all goes back to whether or not the cyber ninjas really understand how elections work. But you know, all these claims do get amplified by the former President Trump, and there's certainly a right wing media sphere that amplifies all these things, and a lot of people believe them whether they're true or not.
And what is this cyber group, Cyber Ninjas?
Cyber Ninjas, yeah, they're a cybersecurity firm out of Florida. They came to Arizona saying they would do this audit for the $150,000 that the Senate had set aside for it, but of course that wasn't nearly enough money, and they've been doing a lot of fundraising on the side, and we've learned they've raised at least $5.7 million, I think the last figure I saw was, and that was all coming, maybe not all, but a significant amount coming from groups that are pushing the various election conspiracies that are out there. So I think, you know, we've already had groups, election groups coming out and saying, you know, this audit does not meet any kind of standard that we normally have for election audits, and that, you know, there's a lot of problems with what they've been doing in an attempt to discredit the report even before it comes out. And you know, again, we don't even know when the report's going to show up now, but it's certainly been an embarrassment to watch this thing go. A clown show is certainly a good description of what's happening.
So taxpayers have paid for some of this?
$150,000, okay, has come from the taxpayers, but they got inside the Maricopa County voting machines, and so the Secretary of State Katie Hobbs, of course a Democrat who wants to be governor, has said those machines have to be decertified because we don't know what the cyber ninjas did when they were fooling with them. So Maricopa County is asking the state for $4 million to replace all their voting machines. Now the Attorney General is saying that Maricopa County has to turn over these routers that Maricopa County officials say would jeopardize their security, and they're going to have to replace that. That's going to be millions of dollars as well. So, you know, we'll see whether or not they turn over those routers, whether there's other legal options for them, but they stand to lose a big, big chunk of money, more than $600 million, I think, last time I looked, if they do not turn over those routers, according to the Attorney General of Arizona, who, of course, also wants to be in the U.S. Senate and has to really kind of kowtow to these election folks, because they're the election conspiracy folks, because they are the base of the Republican Party now, and that's why you see so many Republicans going along with this nonsense.
All right, Jim Nintzel, a pleasure, and thank you for taking part in our conversation. Some good content, I felt, coming out of our interview with the congressman.
Absolutely, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. Jim Nintzel from the Tucson Weekly. It's Buckmaster on a Friday afternoon. Matt Russell coming up next with our wonderful weekend watch right after this.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
What do you say? We do it. It is Weekend Watch with Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist Mr. Matt Russell, award-winning publicist. And Weekend Watch is presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, looking at those midday temperatures in around 80, 84 degrees. Somewhere the weekend looks like 82 for the high. It's going to be cooler always is over in Silver City because of that mile-high elevation of 5,500 feet. Only a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Lots to do. Hike in the greened-up Gila National Wilderness or just kick back and enjoy beautiful Silver City. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, for more information about what to do and where to stay. Let's welcome now Matt. What's going on? I hear Maynard's is back in business.
Finally, Bill Buckmaster. Finally, the moment that so many of us have been waiting for. After a year and a half on pause, Maynard's downtown officially reopens its doors tonight. Now, I had the opportunity to preview the new menu last night, and it is definitely a fresh and unique approach with a seasonally inspired monthly lineup that focuses on regional ingredients and purveyor partnerships. In fact, Bill, I think 90% of what's on these plates was sourced from local purveyors. This really is a foodie's paradise. You've heard me talk about Maynard's over the years, one of my favorite restaurants all over the state. I urge you to make Maynard's part of your weekend adventure.
Yeah, as they say, meet me at Maynard's. It's back. That slogan, very appropriate right now.
Yes.
Well, I'm hearing all sorts of good things about a vineyard. It's called Wilhelm Vineyards.
Yeah, and you know what? Tucked away in a really small strip mall near the southwest corner of Sunrise and Kolb is the Tucson tasting room of Elgin's Wilhelm Vineyards, but their offerings go way beyond their local wine tastings. In addition to their broad portfolio of Arizona reds and whites and rosés, even sangrias, they also have a pretty impressive menu of tapas to kind of maximize your sipping experience, as well as full brunch and lunch menus with omelets and salads and sandwiches. You know, these folks obviously understand the art of wine and food pairings. Plus, they're now doing live music every Friday starting at 5:30. I think the secret is out now about Wilhelm Vineyards in the foothills.
Hey, Desert Museum, still not too late to get in on the August nights.
Right. You know what? The annual August nights event at the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum gives us all kind of a sense of the beauty of the desert after dark. It concludes tomorrow night at a special event from 5 to 9 p.m. You're going to see this local landmark is going to show you how the desert comes alive at night. Tomorrow is Teacher Appreciation Night at the event, which means free admission for registered teachers with a school ID. There's going to be beer tastings, wine tastings, cider tastings, and only $15 for adults, $8 for kids. Let's bid farewell to August in style tomorrow night at the Desert Museum.
And as you take the drive out to the Desert Museum, you will never, probably in anybody's lifetime, see the desert like this in that all that green finery that we have had. It's just so beautiful out there. You'll never probably see it like that. And what's coming up in the column?
Well, you know, it's a new seafood restaurant in Oro Valley, but their turf is making as much news as their surf. So you definitely won't be asking where's the beef when you read my story in this week's Inside Tucson Business and the Tucson Weekly.
Oh, sounds like a winner as usual. Thank you so much, Mr. Matt Russell. Always a pleasure.
Cheers, Phil.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. A big shout out to a young man I met on the Portuguese island of Madeira probably about 6 years ago. His name is Christophan. He's from Germany, and he composed our theme music. Thanks to him. Thanks to Rose Brandt, who's been with me a long time, making sure all of those podcasts get posted to BuckmasterShow.com. Everybody here at KVOI, including Tom Fairbanks, my ace engineer producer, the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson, they've been just such great support here for Buckmaster. Have a great weekend, everybody.